Hello and welcome back to the Tricky Notes podcast. This is Trick, and this week I wanted to talk about some albums that are very unlikely to ever appear on streaming. There's various reasons about that, and I'll kind of dig into that, but just kind of wanted to talk about a few of them. And this kind of was brought to mind for a number of reasons. First, one of the really great things about the streaming era, and I have a lot of issues with the streaming era, and I'm going to talk about that some other day. But one of the great things about it is a lot of albums that were either out of print or not released in the US or whatever country you're in, you can now find those on streaming. Examples are, you know, Heart, the band Heart, their albums Private Audition and Passion Works. They were between their 70s rock era and their 80s kind of rebrand, which are both great eras. Don't get me wrong, but there was two albums in between there that were just out of print. They weren't very successful and they just kind of, you know, fell by the wayside, and it's really great that they're there. Another example, an album that I really like, don't love it, I like it, but Culture Beat's Inside Out. Culture Beat, you know, was a dance electronic kind of Eurodance band in the early 90s, and Serenity was a huge hit for them. And their follow-up album was Inside Out, and the lead single Inside Out did okay on the dance charts. But the record label decided not to release it in the US after sending out promo copies and everything. So it just kind of sat there. And I remember when I was in high school, it was going up to the record store all the time. It's like, hey, do you have a release date on this yet? Hey, do you have a release date on this? Cause I was like, I had the single for Inside Out. I was like waiting for the album to get released, and it just never did. That album is now on streaming, which is great. It was released everywhere but the US. Another big one that is now on streaming, and I'm not the hugest fan of this artist. I do have a deep respect for her, but I did date someone briefly who was a big fan, and that's Tori Amos. And Tori Amos in the 80s was with a band called Why Can't Tori Read? And I remember when I was dating this individual, I learned a lot about this album, and he definitely, told me the ins and outs of it and how it's out of print. And he was always looking to get a copy because, you know, real CD versions of this album were extremely expensive and highly praised by collectors. And now that album is just on streaming. So, really, really good. Well, it's one of the good things, you know, a lot of record companies, they don't have to pay to print the physical media. They can just release it onto streaming platforms. And, you know, so there's not as much financial, you know, responsibility, so to speak. But there are some situations where, for one reason or another, that album will likely not appear on streaming. So I'm going to talk about a couple of them. Now, first off, I want to say I'm not talking about albums that were never released. I am strictly talking about albums that did get a release specifically, and, you know, why we will likely never see them on streaming for one reason or another. So the first one I'm going to talk about is a Prince album. As you know, I'm a big fan of Prince. And he has an album called The Black Album. Now, this album was recorded after Sign of the Times and was supposed to be the next release following that album. But, they'd already sent out promo copies. They, had just, manufacture a lot of albums, but shortly before release, Prince said, we need to not release this, because he really felt strongly that the album had like an evil feel to it. However, Prince did allow for a brief re-release of the album in the, I guess, it was the early 90s when Prince was like working to get out of his record label. He had a certain number of albums that had to be released to exit his contract. So he allowed for a temporary release of the Black Album to help fulfill that album quota. But Prince was not a fan of that album, and the Prince Estate may, you know, I believe will likely hold to that, his wishes in that regard. They have been really good. The Prince Estate has been really good in a lot of ways of, you know, curating his memory quite well with the vault releases and everything. So I do believe that they do appreciate his vision. So I, you know, we'll see what happens, but I have a strong feeling that they will not re-release that one. So speaking of the Prince Estate, the next one I'm going to talk about is actually an album that was released on NPG Records, which was Prince's imprint and produced by Paisley Park Enterprises. So it's kind of tied up into all the Prince Estate stuff. And, you know, while the Prince Estate has been very good about, you know, Prince's catalog, they really haven't touched anything that is in there from other artists. And one of the biggest ones that is kind of stuck up into all that is Chaka Khan's Come to My House from 1998. Now, Chaka Khan's entire other discography, including the stuff she did with Rufus, is out there on streaming. This is the only album that's missing, and it's because it's tied up into everything related to the Prince Estate, unfortunately. And it's really kind of sad because there's it's a really solid album. I mean, the album was produced by Chaka Khan and Prince, and this is by Prince during the era when he was going by the symbol. Nine of the tracks were co-written by Chaka Khan and Prince. One of the songs was co-written by Chaka Khan and another person, and then two were Prince solo writes. Now, there are some other songwriting contributions in there. For example, Robert Palmer also had writing credits on two of the tracks and also provided, you know, vocals on one of the tracks. Queen Latifah does a guest verse on one of the songs, you know, so there's a lot of really great stuff on this album that's kind of stuck in limbo. And it's kind of sad because it's like, I think this album shows the, you know, Chaka's strong songwriting chops a little bit. You know, she's really great at interpreting other people's songs. She's done that, you know, most of her career, but it's nice to see her, you know, with the pen. Now, I'm not saying this is, you know, this may not be an essential album for everybody, but it is definitely a good one, and I think it's a great listen, and it really is a shame that it's missing from streaming. So the next one I'm going to talk about is Jody Watley. Now, Jody Watley, I spoke about on the last podcast episode of, you know, when I was talking about the third album, and after her fourth album, Intimacy, MCA Records released her from her contract. And at that point, Jody Watley formed her own record label called Avatone Recordings and partnered with a record label called Bellmark to release an album called Affection. Now, unlike Chaka, there's actually two albums in Jody's discography that are missing from streaming. This is just one of them. The second one I'll mention afterward, but we're going to talk about the first one first, and that's Affection. Now, Affection is a smooth R&B album. You know, came out in 1995. The lead single was a song called Affection, and very equality driven song. You know, it's like, you know, doesn't matter if you're straight or gay, everybody wants to be loved, you know. So she's sung this song at a lot of pride events and things. But, you know, it was a moderate hit, nothing huge. But it's a good album. It's a good R&B album. But it's missing from streaming. And when I was trying to figure out what was going on, everything centered around a record label that she partnered with to release the album. And that album is, and that record label is called Bellmark. Now, Bellmark, they were an independent record label and, you know, based in LA, and they kind of worked with a lot of early hip hop acts and a lot of gospel. And in fact, a lot of their, you know, there's some gospel recordings that they released were nominated for Grammys, which is great. And they had some huge successful singles released from their label. And, you know, the first one being Daisy Dukes by Deuce, and the second one being Whoomp There It Is by Tag Team. Both of these songs, multi-platinum singles, huge, crossover into the pop charts, you know, which, you know, especially for an independent label at that time, you know, having these huge, huge singles, it's a big thing. And that's why, you know, when Prince went to release his first independent single, which he got permission from Warner Brothers to do, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, he partnered with Bellmark Records to release it. And that, to this day, that's Prince's last top 10 hit in the US. So it made sense for Jody Watley to partner with them to release Affection. Now, Affection didn't do well, didn't really meet the expectations. So, you know, it just kind of sat there, and you could still find it a lot of times in used record stores, even though it's getting harder and harder to find nowadays. But that's how I first got it, was in a used record store. And I really do like the album. I think it's really good, and it's a shame it's not on streaming, so more people can't discover it. But when trying to dig into why that one's missing, it all centers around Bellmark Records. Now, based on what I could tell, Bellmark Records declared bankruptcy in the late 90s. And at that point, their discography was purchased by another company called DM Records. And don't know anything about DM Records. there are DM Records you can find online, but they don't really kind of line up. And if they did get all of, you know, Bellmark's assets, they really haven't done much with it. Now, if you do look on streaming, you will, and you look up Deuce or Tag Team, and you look up those original singles, you know, Daisy Dukes and Whoomp There It Is, which you can find on streaming, you'll notice that they have a different record label on their under the credits of those songs, and it's one called Westbound Records. Now, Westbound Records owns the George Clinton catalog, and so it's, I don't know if somehow or another they now have all of Bellmark Records stuff. But regardless, since Affection wasn't a big hit, I don't think there's any interest for them to put it out if they do have it. A lot of the news that you have about Westbound Records tend to center on copyright lawsuits against hip hop artists that use, you know, that use different samples of things in their catalog. especially things from Funkadelic. So don't know what's going on with those. That one's just kind of stuck out there. Now, Jody Watley's other album, Missing from Streaming, really, really doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because that one was released by Universal Records, and Universal Records put other stuff of Jody Watley out there. So why is this one missing? And that's the album called Saturday Night Experience Volume 1. Now, I will say that that album was not released in the U.S. It was only released in Japan because, you know, she couldn't find a U.S. distributor. Though she did release a couple years afterwards, she did release kind of an EP with some dance mixes from that album, but it, you know, it's still not the original album. Why that one's still missing, I have no idea. But it's still, that one actually, you know, there's no reason Universal Records couldn't put it out there. But Affection, though, I don't think will appear on streaming anytime soon. I think it's tied up in the litigation, or, you know, passing back between record labels. And, you know, I know that Jody Watley still performs the songs. And funnily enough, this was when I did search iTunes for Affection. I didn't find Jody Watley's, but I did find a karaoke version of Jody Watley's Affection. So try to figure that one out. But it's sad, because I do think, you know, both those albums that are missing from streaming for Jody Watley provide some, you know, fill in some gaps in her discography a little bit, to kind of explain a little bit between the different releases. We won't get into today some of the shady stuff that record labels did to her, especially related to the album Flower, but, you know, things happen. We'll kind of table that for another discussion, but Affection is another one that sadly is missing, and I wish it was out there, and it's just kind of stuck. So the next one I'm going to talk about is probably not one that anybody is really clamoring to get on streaming, to be honest. It's a personal wish. You know, I have it on vinyl. I have it on cassette. I don't think it ever was released on CD, so I don't have it there, but I have, you know, burned it or recorded it from my vinyl. So I do have it digitally, so I listen to it that way. But okay, let me explain this. So there was a movie in 1982 called The Pirate Movie. Now, this is not a good movie. It was a box office bomb. It's silly, corny, campy, just not art, unless you see high camp as an art. But I love it. It's so stupid. It's, so to describe it, you know, it is a musical spoof. Let me back up. It is an 80s musical spoof of the 1879 Gilbert and Sullivan opera, The Pirates of Penzance. And this musical starred Christy McNichol, who at the time had, you know, had success on TV, and Christopher Atkins, who was coming off his role in The Blue Lagoon, which was highly successful. And the music from the movie is a mixture of parodies and spoofs of the original Gilbert and Sullivan opera songs, like the Sisters song, and most famously the Modern Major General song, and brand new 80s pop schlock. And the 80s pop schlock, you know, like First Love and How Can I Live Without Her, you know, And most famously, Pumpin' and Blowin'. Just take that title for what it is. It's an experience, and I love it. And I wish it was on streaming so more people could find it, because it's fun. But this one is another one that's likely tied up into rights issues. Now, there's multiple things that kind of fall into that rights issue. Number one, the movie itself was released by 20th Century Fox, which is now 20th Century, which is now owned by Disney. But the soundtrack was released on Polydor Records, which is now owned by Universal Music Group. I just talked about them with Jody Watley. So you have that going on. Plus, the soundtrack featured a song by Kool & the Gang, which that adds another layer of complexity to the release of the song. Now, the Kool & the Gang song is basically the only one that was not kind of written or spoofed for the movie. It was actually from a Kool & the Gang album, Something Special. So you can still find that song elsewhere, but it was used background of a scene, but it's, you know, it's on the album and it's, you know, yeah, I really wish this one was on streaming, because it's, I would love to share some of this stuff a little bit more widely. I know Pumpin' and Blowin' was nominated on Worst Song of the Razzies. I think it won that year, but I love the dang song. It is so silly. I think Chris McNichol did a good job of singing her big ballad in there called Hold On, which I think is a good song. So, you know, it's a dream to have that. But once again, you're dealing with rights issues here, with all the stuff that's going on, you know, with the movie and the movie soundtrack itself owned by one company and the actual soundtrack release owned by another. So yeah, it's kind of a rights mess, and rights messes don't get solved unless there's a financial benefit to them solving that rights release. And I don't think Disney or Universal have really any interest of resolving those rights releases to get this album on the streaming. So I do suggest watching the movie sometime, but realize the jokes are horribly dated, and it's not really one to do fun. I really don't think it's, even though as a kid, obviously I would watch it sober all the time because, you know, but I was a kid. I don't really think it's one to watch sober nowadays, but that's just me. So, but the pirate movie soundtrack is one that I really, really wish was on streaming. Now, the last two, I mentioned on my last episode, they're not on streaming just because the artist didn't want them on streaming. Let's just be honest. I think the artist, when she's talked about them, she hasn't spoke positively about them, but they were award-winning albums. So it's kind of, I don't know. I kind of wish they were out there, because I think I love seeing artists evolve, and I also have a weak spot for the type of music that, you know, the original albums was. So, so anyway, Alanis Morissette, her first two albums when she was, quote unquote, the Debbie Gibson of Canada, those albums aren't on streaming and likely never will be. Alanis has no interest in them being brought back out. There was a deal done between MCA Records, which released the first two, and Maverick Records, which released Jagged Little Pill, to just kind of hide them. And there's just been no interest to bring them back out. I've not heard of Alanis doing any of those songs in concert, but the albums were successful enough in Canada that, you know, they kept her career going, and and they won several Juno Awards, which is the Canadian version of the Grammys. So, you know, it's kind of sad that those aren't out there, but that's just, the artist doesn't want them out there, and that's okay. She's allowed. Just kind of like the Prince, the Black Album. He didn't want it out there. He only released it under, you know, trying to get out of a record label. He didn't want it out there otherwise. So it is what it is. And, you know, I as much as I want to have him out there, I know we're not really missing anything, but dang it. I kind of want them. They're, you know, I like that. I have a soft spot for that early 90s, like pop, like New Kids on the Block, Tiffany, Debbie Gibson. You know, I am unabashedly a Deb head. I admit it. If I could afford it, I would join the Diamond Debs, Diamond Deb heads or whatever that's called, her, exclusive fan club. I have a friend that's in it. You know, but it is what it is. She doesn't want him out there, and we got to respect her, wishes on that. But dang it, I wish they were. But anyway, so I hope you enjoyed this episode. I just kind of wanted to talk about some different albums that were missing from streaming and kind of why. And, you know, they're ones that I wish were out there for different reasons. I get why each one's not out there. Some I'm more upset about than others, but it's one of the benefits of physical media and why physical media is still important. And that is why I still collect physical media. Because I do have, you know, many of these albums on physical media. I don't have the Alanis Morissette albums, sadly. I definitely still trying to find those. Those are hard to find, but you know, I have Affection. I've got Come to My House. I've got the Black Album. I have the Pirate Movie, you know, I have these albums, you know, so I can still listen to them, but you know, it's easier to share when it's on streaming with other people to try to spread, you know, spread the music stuff around. You know, I'd create a playlist if they were on streaming, kind of pointing out some of the highlights of these albums, but, you can find them through illegal means, but I don't recommend doing that. But this is one of those cases where it's almost like you kind of have to, if you want to listen to them and you don't have the physical copies. And that's one of the sad things about the, you know, where things are anyway, but that's a subject for another day. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Once again, this is Trick. I love talking to you guys. Got more coming up for you here soon. So with that said, hope you have a great week and much love. This episode is sponsored by the Lucky Bear. Mention this podcast and get $10 off your next session. Visit www.theluckybear.com to book today.